What an honor it is. An absolute honor to be able to talk to you, people who are so dedicated to Medinat Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael, who this is just one small part of your dedication. So I must tell you, I am honored by your presence. And I hope that the few remarks that I have to make tonight will make your coming here worthwhile. Kulach yafa rayati umum ein bach. You're totally beautiful, my beloved. There is no blemish in you. You know, Shlomo HaMelech in Shir HaShirim makes that statement. It's a statement about the love affair between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And of course, the metaphor is the love between a young man and a young woman who see only that which is good and that which is beautiful in each other. I often use this when we come soon, first Yom Ha'atzmaut, and then we'll come to Yom Yerushalayim. I often mention this pasuk when we come close to Yom Ha'atzmaut, and we are now in the bridge week between Yom HaShoah and Yom Ha'atzmaut, that, you know, all year round, I've pointed out that when my wife and I were living in Eretz Yisrael with our children, but way back in 1986, so we had rented an apartment from a family there, and they had this television set. And the apartment was relatively small, and the only place they could put the television set was in their bedroom, and they had a very tall dresser, and the television set was a huge one, I mean, for those days, and in order for you to see it, you'd have to sit back, and it was perched like, you know, on top of Mount Vesuvius. And we watched the news every night. We watched programs. I spoke Hebrew all day. Then every once in a while, if you're an English speaker, you like to sometimes hear a little English as well. So we turn on the news, the 9 o'clock news. The Jordanian news was first, 9 o'clock. You will be happy to know that for an entire year, not one bad thing happened in Jordan. The entire year, nothing happened bad. No break-ins, no murders, no strikes, no economic problems. But then at 9:30, the Israeli news came on, right? And all you hear is, first of all, I remember more than just about anything are the strikes and the screaming and the yelling and all the things that are going on, and every form of crime. Thank God I don't remember any murders. I don't, thank God. But break-ins, this, that, all kinds of things. If you were dropped from Mars here, and you watched these two news shows, and you were asked, which is the healthy society? That's it, you're right. And we do. We criticize, why did the government do this? Why did it do that? As if we know better than they, I don't know. I can never say that. But one day a year, 2 days really, but one day in particular, we say, Kulach yafa rayati. You are completely beautiful. There is no... there is no blemish in you. Just as hopefully, you know, in life, a husband and a wife, they may have their disagreements, but on their anniversary, if all is going well, kulach yafa rayati. You're completely beautiful. And that is part of the beauty of Yom Ha'atzmaut itself. I'd like to read for you a quote. I'm not going to tell you who wrote it, but here it is. It's written in the summer of 1948, 4 or 5 months after the war began. They were still fighting, of course. They would continue to fight for months, long before Yerushalayim was liberated from the Jordanians. And here's what the person writes. Allow me to say that he is an acknowledged Gadol B'Yisrael, no longer with us. What is now occurring in the Holy Land now? It is difficult to portray it now, as it is now, as the beginning of the redemption. Now, the word atchalta de geula has great historical, but also halachic implications as well. It is indeed talked about in the Gemara, and it heralds the advent of Mashiach. Atchalta, tchilat hageula. So he says it's hard to call it that. Aval. Al kol panim chasadim gedolim min hakatzeh el hakatzeh. No matter how you look at it, he says, great, vast acts of kindness, meaning to say divine acts of kindness, are from one end to the other. Mikzeh ha'isurim shel ha'churban sheshet alfei alafim me'achenu, from the murder of 6 million of our brothers and sisters, to el kitzeh ha'sheni, till the second extreme. And what is that? And please listen carefully to these words, very carefully formulated. Hityashvut amenu bimdinato be'eretz hakadosha. Hityashvut, the settlement, amenu, of our nation, bimdinato, in its state, its political state, be'eretz hakadosha, in Artzeinu hakadosha. Now, here's what he adds, this unnamed author. Mizet sarich lilmod v'likboa emuna b'leiv. From this fact, we need to literally to learn and to implant a certain belief in our heart about what is happening, that the emuna that we have is divine, that this is divine. And now he adds, Oy lemi sheyavo leYom HaDin. They're only about, at that point, maybe 5 weeks away from Yom HaDin, from Rosh Hashanah. Woe be to the one who approaches the Day of Judgment, meaning to say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, v'adayin sumahu, still blind, milerot davar muchashi zeh, from seeing this tangible fact. And who was it? Rabbi Leo Dessler, the great and wonderful sage that certainly all aspects of Orthodoxy can identify with, but he himself saw himself as, and of course the Haredi community saw him as one of their leaders. I say this not to say gotcha. This is not a gotcha moment. It's merely to say that his understanding of what was going on, and he wrote this, by the way, from Gateshead, because he lived a good part of the last years of his life. He died in the 50s in Gateshead. And he himself looked at it and said, no one should or could or can deny the divine intervention and chesed of Medinat Arzenu, the Medina, the founding of the state of Israel on our land. Rabbi Leo Dessler. Why do I mention it now? Of course, Yom Ha'atzmaut is coming up, but secondly, there is a certain, it's a bridge week, as I mentioned. It starts with the horrendous recognition of how close we were to near complete disaster, and how keherafayin, Yeshuat Hashem keherafayin, and when you look at it from the standpoint of history, Keherafayin, just 3 years later, we have established a Jewish state on the land of the Eretz Yisrael. Now, I want to give a talk. This evening I'm talking about people that are more good at people for at the beginning here. But that's okay, because again, the theme of this discussion is the unity of the Jewish people. Achdut, how Yerushalayim brings Achdut to the Jewish people. And so as I speak tonight, I speak with reverence to all and about all of our wonderful Jews, all of whom love Eretz Israel. And whether we're going to say Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut, or they don't say Hallel, that's a halachic question. Has nothing to do with one's love of the land of Israel. It's a halacha question. And different people come to different conclusions. My Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, told us and taught us that we should say Hallel on Yom HaTzimut. And we do. I do. Not that, I don't know whether you know it. This year I don't do it. But I have a very interesting situation. I'm one of the few people in the world that says Hallel twice regarding Yom HaTzimut on most years or many years. Because as you know, many years Yom HaTzimut is not Hayyar. We don't celebrate it on Hayyar because if Hayyar comes on Friday, certainly Shabbat, or if it comes on Sunday, or Yom HaZikaron would come on Shabbat, well, that would be the same thing, we move it. The celebration is moved. So I asked Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz Shlita, may Hashem grant him a refuah shlema b'karov. I asked him, what do I do? I'm in the Yaida Crown Jewish Academy, and we say Hallel every day whenever the world celebrates it, 7, 6, 5, whatever it may be. And Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was very clear. He said the reason we observe the heter for us observing Yom HaTzimut itself and establishing a holiday is that all of Klal Yisrael was saved on that day. All of Klal Yisrael. And the halacha is on the day that a person was saved, he is to have a seuda on that day. And he's to say Hallel on that day, not just he, but his children and his children's children, ad sof hadorot. So he said, but that's only on the day that you have it. So he said, you shouldn't say Hallel on any other day. So I'm caught now between a rock and a hard place, because on the one hand, if the academy is doing it on the 7th, shall we say, if I'm the only one who's not saying Hallel, it looks like I'm not saying Hallel. I asked Rabbi Schwartz. He said, 2 times. He said, that's what he advised me. He said, for me, as long as I'm in that position, 2 times. You say it on Hayyar, as your Rebbe told you, and if it is on some other day than that, because al tifrosh min hatzibur, you may not separate yourself from the community publicly. So, and I think I'm one of the few people that does it because, you have to have that unique combination where you have Rav Aaron not only saying Hallel, but giving his halachic view as to when it's to be said and limiting it. And of course, in an institution which is deeply attached to Eretz Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael. So that's that. That's a parenthetical statement. Rav Zweig, who's a Rosh Yeshiva in Miami, once was talking about love. Love. What makes people love each other? What makes people fall in love? So he said, most people, when they fall in love, it's because of some individual attachment that they found. For example, a person can be, they go out on a date and he seems witty, or she seems intelligent. And that is maybe what each person is looking for. And they say, oh, good, let's take this a little further. And so then it broadens, and if things work well, so then they get married. So Zweig said, though, that as time goes on and the years go on, and these two people, if Hashem blesses them to have children, they have children, they have a family, family goes up, the family goes out of the house, and now they're left. They've been married 50 years, 55 years. He says, what is left then is pure distilled love. Whatever attachment they had at the beginning, that's probably long gone. Beauty fades. All kinds of other things fade. Person may have money, they lose the money. All kinds of things can be gone. But what happens is that one element that hooked them together, that also somewhat disappears, and what you have left is this pure love. He said that is what happened with Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham Avinu l'man asher yitzaveh et banav v'b'nei beito. Hashem said, I know, Yedativ, I know him, I love him. Why? Because Yedativ here means to love. I love him, why? Because I know he will teach his children and his children's children la'asot tzedaka u'mishpat, to act with integrity, with honesty, justice. And that was the hook. And then no matter how bad we get, no matter how badly we mess up, that love over time now, that never can be. Never can be diminished. And it's that love that gave us first the Medinat Yisrael, which led ultimately to Yom Yerushalayim, Yom Shichrur Yerushalayim. You know, some people are careful not to call it Yom Yerushalayim, because in Tanakh, Yom Yerushalayim is a negative thing. It is usually the fall of Yerushalayim. So some people who are particular say you have to call it Yom Shichrur Yerushalayim, the day of Yerushalayim's liberation. So we'll call it that and both. So the reason I mention it is because Yerushalayim is the place of Hashem's attachment to the Jewish people. It is the place of the Beit HaMikdash. It is the place which the Korbanot were brought on a daily basis, on a national basis, and on an individual basis. And as you know from the brief Bein HaBetarim, that those Korbanot, Avraham Avinu said, when Hashem said, I'm going to give you the land, I'm going to give you the children, what does Avraham Avinu ask when it comes about to the land? He says, Bameida ki irashena. How will I know that I'm going to inherit it? Now, at first blush, it appears that he's asking a very chutzpahdik, arrogant question. When I teach it to my students, I say it's tantamount to your parents saying, "Listen, if you get good grades, I'm going to give you that car that you thought you were going to that you wanted." My dad never said that to me, but nowadays that's what they say. So you say to him, "Very nice, put it in writing." Okay, that's how do I know I'm going to inherit? But that, of course, is not the perish. That's not pshat in the pasuk. Avraham Avinu said, "I know I'm going to get it, but what is it about me? What is it about the Jewish people that will merit our having it?" And Rashi says, and Rashi brings the Medrash, which says, "Bizchut haKorbanot." The fact is, we'll be bringing korbanot. That is the Makom HaMikdash, and that in Yerushalayim, that is where Hashem's presence will be. For all eternity, the Shechina will not depart from the Kotel HaMaravi of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, what is the Shechina? I like to portray it as the divine emphasis. Hashem is everywhere. You can't say, La'olam eina Shechina zaza mikotel HaMaravi shel Beit HaMikdash, that Hashem will never leave the Beit HaMikdash. He doesn't leave anywhere. Hashem is here. He's in every location. But there are certain places which merit the emphasis, the divine emphasis. That's the Shechina. The place, what is Lishkon? Lishkon is to dwell or to be. So that is the place where they are. So now that is the attachment. Yerushalayim is, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, our dedication to Hashem, even in our worst of times, nevertheless, created the attachment of the Jewish people to the land through Yerushalayim. Now, Yerushalayim is the nature of people to live within a city. But Yerushalayim is a city that lives within a people. And because it has lived within us all these years, I can never say anything with certainty. I don't read God's mind. But it seems that one could make the argument that it's this attachment that we have to Yerushalayim throughout our history. L'shana Abba Yerushalayim, no matter where it was, when it's at a Pesach Seder, when it's on Yom Kippur, the most sacred of times that we have, both as a family and as a community, Yerushalayim is never forgotten. And it's that attachment that we have to Yerushalayim that maintains Hashem's attachment to us and to bring us back to the land of Eretz Yisrael and to Yerushalayim. Yehuda Amichai is considered to be the poet laureate of Yerushalayim. Poet laureate. I guess I don't know who chooses making somebody a poet laureate, not here in America, and I don't know what it is. But he certainly is a wonderful poet. Listen to what he writes. You'll see, I think, from this phrase, what he writes about Yerushalayim. He says, Yerushalayim, hi ir namal al chof hanetzach. Yerushalayim is a port city on the shores of eternity. Huh? Beautiful. All right. And that's what it is. That the key here is that Yerushalayim's greatness is that it is eternal. Ir HaNetzach, the city of eternity. And so I'd like to be able now to expand a little bit about this. When we talk about Achdut, we talk about unity. So unity can go two ways. It can go either horizontally or it can go vertically, right? Horizontally, I need to feel Achdut with my brothers and sisters here, my brothers and sisters in Argentina, my brothers and sisters wherever they are, and Yerushalayim becomes the unifying force in that. Okay. And again, I would stress that this unity has to transcend the neat little boxes that we put ourselves and put other people in, Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, and Reconstructionist, or Open Orthodoxy. Those are issues that have to be dealt with. But in terms of the Achdut of the Jewish people, no one is going to care for us but us. In the end, that is it. And so, that's the horizontal connection, and it's very important. But then there's the vertical connection. That is, the vertical connection is past, present, and future. And that is why Yehuda Amichai refers to Yerushalayim al Chof HaNetzach. It is the shore of eternity. The Yerushalayim that was may look different than the Yerushalayim as it looks today, but it has the sanctity that we have, the sanctity today that it has. Are there certain halachot that don't apply exactly? Yes, that's true. Many do. Some volumes are written on the halachot of those who live in Yerushalayim. Not only the halachot, but the minhagim of Yerushalayim. All of that is what makes Yerushalayim so unique. And by the way, I don't know whether you heard these, the BDS, Yimach Shemam, they came out with I can say Yimach Shemam, I have no problem with that. They came out with a Haggadah for Pesach. All of a sudden they got frum. And what is the Haggadah? They say, and listen to this, I'm glad you're sitting down, and I'm sorry to even, in front of the Aron Kodesh, I'm sorry to even mention it. They said, we need to find new ways of ending the Seder instead of saying L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. That's what they say. Ad kedei kach. So, why? Because they bought into this nonsensical statement. The Jews are Judaizing Yerushalayim. There are things that people can legitimately disagree on. Good people, honest people can disagree. But that Jews have no stake in Yerushalayim? Absurd. And of course, the more you say the lie, Hitler learned that. The more you say the lie, and Goebbels, just keep repeating it. And then people buy into it. So, you know, the battle is far, far from over. First time I was ever in Eretz Yisrael, I may have told this, some of you may have heard this story, but please forgive me if you've heard it. If you haven't heard it, I hope you'll feel it. It's worthwhile listening to. My wife is very meticulous in everything. Everything is planned well, etc. And that's a good thing for me, all right? So she says to me before our first trip, she said, you know, you need a second pair of glasses. I said, I don't need a second pair of glasses. She keeps telling me you need it. So I said, look, you want to get you, okay, take the second pair of glasses. I don't care. So I think we are 3 days into the trip, and I'm walking. We are walking together in Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden I trip. And I trip. Two things happen when a person trips, I found. These are universal things. Number one, the person next to you says, "Be careful." Now, what good did that do? If she'd have said, "Be careful," before I tripped, all right? And I told her that, but that's my only way of getting back. And here's the second thing, is the person who trips always looks back to see what caused them to trip, as if it makes a difference, right? I'm glad I looked back. I'm very glad I looked back. I walked back those 3 or 4 steps, and, oh, by the way, my glasses fell off, all right? My glasses fall off, and the third day of the trip, we were supposed to be there 6 weeks, first time to Israel, terrible. And of course, with a smile on her face, my wife takes my second pair of glasses out of her purse. I am still paying for that. Happily, but I'm still paying for it. All right. I look, and I see that what I tripped over was the cap of a gas line. And normally, of course, you curse it and then move on. I couldn't. Because when I saw the cap on the gas line, it had the famous lion, you know, arched up with the beautiful words, Iriyat Yerushalayim, the municipality of Yerushalayim. I remember it like yesterday, 40 years ago. And then it dawned on me. You know, everybody has something, your first trip to Eretz Israel, there's always something that hits you. You know, for my mother, Alei Shalom, when she went, all she had to do was see a Ben Gurion, all the flags, Israeli flags flying, that was it for her. This did it for me, a simple gas tank. You know why? Because I study history, as many of you do. And I know, and even if you don't study history, you know enough history to be able to say, look at what Jews went through, ghettos, pogroms, right? All the things that went with it. And I looked at this gas cap, and it dawned on me. This gas cap was here. It didn't just get here by accident. It was planned. And it's part of an overall plan, because all gas caps are. It's part of an overall plan that was to lay out of the city. This was in West Yerushalayim. It wasn't in the Yer Atika, even though we were there at the time that we were in the Yer Atika, but it wasn't there. And I realized there was a committee somewhere that decided in this neighborhood, here the gas lines will run, here will be a shul, here will be housing, here might be a hospital or a clinic, here will be a school, here will be whatever it is. And who did all that planning? For the first time in 2,000 years, Jews decided where Jews would live. And if they decided to live in wherever it is that they chose to live, Romema, so then that's where they ran the lines, to Romema. And then if they decided it would be in Geula, that's where they would go. And so it was, I realized that gas cap connected me with Jewish history in Yerushalayim, because I realized that all, as you know, Ben-Gurion, not everybody's going to agree with everything Ben-Gurion said, but one thing he wanted to do is he wanted to negate the galut. Literally, lishlol et ha-galut. That's what he wanted to do. And even if it isn't completely eradicated, or maybe it isn't going to, maybe that's not God's will to ever completely eradicate. I don't know, until Mashiach comes. But one thing is certain, part of the galut was eradicated for me. And I realized what it meant at the beginning to live within a Jewish state in a Jewish context, Iriyat Yerushalayim. And of course, anybody realizes, you know, you go on the streets of Yerushalayim, all over Eretz Yisrael, but we're talking about Yerushalayim, right? And there's a Gemara. I don't want to take too much time. There's a Gemara that Gemara in Sanhedrin, a very famous confrontation where you had Yanai, King Yanai, who was the last of the Chashmonaim. Unfortunately, the Chashmonaim quickly deteriorated from their status of superheroes. They were the Kennedys, or the Kennedys were the Maccabees. You know, the family endures, and the family can do no wrong. And Yanai became, so to speak, more or less seized being king. It was accepted, but he was a king, and not everybody. First of all, many people said we shouldn't have the name king. He should be called Chaver. I have a coin that says he's called Chaver Hayehudi, not a king. He's called the comrade. That would they call it now, comrade, Chaver, comrade. That, and they agreed on it, that, the settlement. But anyway, who was his brother-in-law, the king Yanai? His brother-in-law was Shimon ben Shetach. Why was Shimon ben, the great Shimon ben Shetach, why was he Yanai's brother-in-law? Because Yanai married Shimon ben Shetach's sister, Shlom Tzion. Right? Her name was Shlom Tzion. So I can imagine, by the way, here you have, Yanai was the number one stuki. He was literally a Sadducee. Number one, because they granted him whatever he wanted. And he's sitting, he got to sit at a table, all right, with his wife, and right next to her is Shimon ben Shetach, the greatest of the Perushim, of the Pharisees. Boy, that must have been some dinner party, you know. You and, all right, and who sits between them? Shlom Tzion Amalka. Shlom Tzion. Now, there's a famous story where of a huge confrontation between the two. Time does not allow us to discuss it, but clearly there was a confrontation in the Sanhedrin between Shimon ben Shetach and Yanai HaMelech, and Yanai HaMelech actually got the better of Shimon ben Shetach simply because of his power. He intimidated everybody in the Sanhedrin not to rule the way they should, without going into the details, which are easily seen. It's in Sanhedrin. Now, you're walking down the street in Yerushalayim, and I want you to picture this. Here you have a street. This street here is called Shlom Tzion HaMalka Street. Coming on this side of Shlom Tzion HaMalka Street is Shimon ben Shetach Street. And down here, maybe 100 meters away, you have from the other side is, what do you think? Yanai HaMelech. What a thing! Jewish history, past connection of Jewish history. For all eternity, she's caught between these two people. She's caught between Shimon ben Shetach, who indeed, of course, was her beloved brother, and her husband. And if a person knows a little history, and by the way, that's all over Yerushalayim, so then they see it. So this is the vertical connection of Klal Yisrael, past. Now, there's present as well. Another brief story. This one is not such a happy story for me. And again, I want to hasten to say that I do not want to indict any one group of people. Period. We all have our strengths. We all have our weaknesses. We all have things that make us beautiful. And something, we have some warts too. Everybody does. And so do groups. But my daughter went to a school where the girls grew up thinking that the chayalim do nothing. They don't do anything really for the state. The only thing that really keeps the state going is the people who are learning Torah. Yeshiva B'nai Torah. Now, no one in this room, I would imagine, will deny how important the learning of Torah is for the protection and the ongoing continuance of a state because of the korbanos and because of the Torah we learn. But to say it's exclusive? So she called me up and she was crying. She was upset because she didn't know what to say to them. So I said, tomorrow we're going on a field trip. We went on a field trip to Har Herzl. There we went. And of course, if you've ever been to Har Herzl, you know what it's like. Waves of kvarot. Waves as far as you can see. And when you walk, 21 years old, 19 years old, 22 years old, oh, an alte mensch, 30 years old, all lying in the kever. I remember 50 years ago when Yerushalayim was liberated. 36 precious neshamot died on Givat HaTachmoshet, on ammunition and hill. And what was I doing? I was studying and going to school and doing all the things that I wanted to do. And while all these 50 years, they are lying in the grave. So Hashem allowed me to marry a wonderful person, to have children, grandchildren, a great-grandchild. All of that. And they are in the grave. So we went, and this... And I said, pick a grave, any grave. It doesn't matter to me. And I told her to bring her to Hillel and bring a sitter. And we said, I don't care what grave you pick. I'm going to pick a grave. And I'm going to say a parak of Tehillim. I'm going to say a kilmole. You take a grave, say a parak of Tehillim. And here's what you say. After you do that, you say thank you. You utter the words. You don't think the words. You say them. That's our minhag in our family. Every time we go, we don't go anywhere. We don't go to the Kotel. We don't go anywhere other than to drop our bags and maybe we have to stay the night at our daughter's house. And the next day, we go to Har Herzl. You can go anywhere, but we go to Har Herzl. And we find a grave. We go at different entrances each time. And we utter thank you. We say our tehillim, put a stone on the grave, and that's it. Well, first of all, what a sense of good feeling. When a person has been makir tov, and a person shows gratitude and appreciation, they feel good. So if you get a chance to do that, and if you like that, it's a wonderful thing to do, I think. I know that nobody looks forward to going to a cemetery, period. But having left the cemetery, we feel now I can maybe do something to enjoy and partake of this. Now, we've got 5 minutes. One of the things that I love about Yerushalayim is particularly, I have a particular love for Rechov Yirmiyahu. You know where Rechov Yirmiyahu is? Okay, you know where Rechov Bar Ilan is? Okay, if you know where Bar Ilan is, It's actually like most streets in Israel. There, you go down the hill from Yirmiyahu, and from that turns into Bar Ilan, and Bar Ilan turns into Sderot Eshkol, and then you go up. So it's almost like a bowl, so to speak. You go from the top. You go from the central bus station, not very far from it, and then you go down to Yirmiyahu. And what's on Rehov Yirmiyahu? Tzvia, which is the academy for girls, named after Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, who founded it, and hundreds and hundreds of wonderful girls go there. And then you go a little further down the hill, and there you find Chassidische Yeshivot. And then you go a little further, and you see the entrance to Me'ah Shearim. And you go a little further to get to the bottom of the hill. You're at Shmuel HaNavi, and then you're into on your way up to Har Tzofim. You're moving up, and there, of course, you have Sanhedrin. You have all kinds of beautiful places, and of course, you pass on your right Ammunition Hill. So when you see that's one street, a magnificent street. I have told my wife that Yirmiyahu would have been very proud to have a street name like that. I think that, absolutely. All right? So much Torah every day, and so much goodness, and so much chesed, and so many things that go on. So wonderful. It is wonderful. And when you look at the present, there are more children learning in Yerushalayim than right now. Children of all ages, from 5 all the way up to going through. So we're talking tens of thousands of children. That's achdut. Now, we don't always practice achdut, but we need to. I want to read you a little something from the Malbim on Tehillim Kuf Chaf Gimel, where the famous pasuk Shalu Shlom Yerushalayim, Ishla Yuava Kuf Chaf Bet Gimel. Ask. About, I think it's Kuchav Bet, the ask, inquire about the welfare of Yerushalayim, Yishlayu Ohava. What is Yishlayu? From the word Shalva. It comes from the word Shalva, tranquility. Now the Malbim tells us that first of all, Yerushalayim, when you say Yerushalayim, Ki'ir Shechubra Yachdav, Yerushalayim is like a city that is connected together. And I remember when we sang that 50 years ago, when we sang that, because Yerushalayim then did, the separated Yerushalayim became the united Yerushalayim. And at that point, I didn't know what Yerushalayim looked like. I only knew, like almost everybody else I knew. We knew the name. We knew that it was ours. We knew that it is the centerpiece of the Jewish people. So, Ki'ir Shechubra La Yachdav, what does it mean it's connected? First of all, Chazal tell us it's the city, all right? She osim ko Yisrael chaverim. That Yerushalayim, okay? Ir shechubra la yachdav, the city that makes all of Yisrael chaverim. And what is a chaver? By the shorash of the word chaver means connected. Chaver, mechubar, chibur. All of those things mean to be connected. That's what a chaver is. She'ir shechubra yachdav. And the Malbim says that Yerushalayim really is, the metaphor here is Yerushalayim is the centerpiece of the Jewish people. It is the heart and the beating heart of the Jewish people. And so therefore, he says, if a person, God forbid, has his limbs separated from him, or other issues a person can die from all of that, not just one limb, but they can die. And if the Jewish people, to the Malbim, is the main idea of this parak in Tehillim, is that the Jewish people are the limbs and Yerushalayim is the heart. And so if that's why it says Yishlayu O Avav, when it says Shalu Shlom Yerushalayim, if you want to know the welfare of Yerushalayim, which is the heart of the people, Yishlayu O Avav. Find the tranquility of the Jewish people. And he says, shalom is external peace between individuals. And shalva is internal peace and tranquility within the individuals. In this case, it's not just individuals, it is Klal Yisrael. A tranquility that we must work for every day. Because that's what Yerushalayim stands for. We have to look to have Yerushalayim inspire us to look to close the gaps between, and there are gaps, there are growing gaps between us, We needed every juncture to try to close those gaps, to find the Jewish people with tranquility. Now, admittedly, there are some people who are not going to want to. Okay, but what we can do about it. But what is the message of Yerushalayim for us? Shalom Yerushalayim is tied to the shalva of its parts, the Jewish people. Now, I'm going to conclude now with how can you talk about Yerushalayim or Eretz Yisrael without something from Rav Kook? You know, Rav Kook, first of all, he said, you know, he wanted to create a parallel movement at Tzionut. Did you know that? He wanted to create a parallel movement at Tzionut. And he says, in that movement, he said, and it's here, it's in among his writings here, in it, he said, that I'm going to call this new movement Yerushalmiut. There's Tzionut and Yerushalmiut. So he says, what are they? What's Yerushalmiut? The cook says, what is Tzionut? Tzionut is the revival of the physical Jewish people al admat HaKodesh, on its sacred land. The physical revival and all of its elements, its studies, its work, its everything. Okay? He says Yerushalmiut is the parallel to Tzionut, but it deals totally with the spiritual, the revival of the spiritual unity of the Jewish people. And he called it Yerushalmiut. Not going to go into it because time is limited now. I just want to take one more piece that he says. Rav Kook, of all of the Gedolei Yisrael, and that means of the entire wonderful spectrum, whether it's Hasidim, whether it's Haredim, whether it's Mizrahi, whatever it is, certainly Rav Kook in his writing about Eretz Yisrael, he was a person who had the greatest single, the most complete vision. He died in 1935. The state was created in 1948. By 1925, he had already all of the vision. What it had to do with physical education, he dealt with it. What should be our writers? And in other words, the writers. He says, you can't have a state without writers. And we're not only talking about Shulchan Aruch, people that inspire through the way they communicate on paper. Here's what he writes. And with this, I'll conclude. Tzrichim lo'orer et tchiyat Yisrael. We must arouse the rejuvenation of the Jewish people with all of the unbelievable powers that we have. Bechol Torata, starts of course. Bechol Torata, with it, the entirety of its Torah. Bechol Emunata, its Emuna. Bechol Midoteha, through all of its character. Bechol Tova, with every good. Bechol Oshra, with all of its wealth. Bechol Kocha, with all of its physical strength. Bechol Hegyonoteha, with all of its intellect. Bechol Shirata, with all of its poetry. Bechol Otzma, with all of its power, all of its strength. Bechol Chum Chayeha. The Jewish people must be rejuvenated not only by sitting and learning, not only by having an army. Many people think, you know, you talk to a lot of people, that they think that Israel is an army with a state attached to it. That's, they think, yeah. A lot of them do. So we have to avoid that as well. We are proud of it and we daven every day for our chayalim, but it's not just an army and it's not just the people sitting in the base medrash. It's the tailor who's doing what he does, who closes his shop 2 hours before Shabbos, and it's the people who are working day in and day out. It's the intelligence in the army working to save and protect the Jewish people. Rav Kook envisioned that. And he realized there's a place for everybody, ideally, dati. But there is a place for everybody. Everybody has his or her niche to be able to bring to fruition the renaissance of the Jewish people, al admat HaKodesh. And so may we, in our coming celebration of Yom Ha'atzma'ut, and of course Yom Yerushalayim, the 50th anniversary, may we do everything that we can, b'chol kochenu, as he would say, with all of our ability to bring that about. Thank you very much.